May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 11. Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of my song, the joy of my heart and the boast of my tongue. Thy free grace alone, from the first to the last, has won my affections and bound my soul fast. Hymn number 11.
Thank you. Let us read from the sacred pages of God's Word, from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 26. Isaiah 26. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord for ever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city, he layeth it low. He layeth it low even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright dost weigh the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name, and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Let favour be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see, but they shall see, and be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. O Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. O Lord our God, other lords beside thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. They are dead, they shall not live. They are decreased, they shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them, and made all their memory to perish. Thou hast increased the nation, O Lord. Thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified. Thou hast removed it far unto all the ends of the earth. Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Like as a woman with child, that draweth near the time of her delivery, is in pain, and crieth out in her pangs, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. We have been with child, we have been in pain, We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpast. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. Let us pray. Most high and holy Lord God, almighty, long-suffering, full of compassion, or yet full of justice, judgment, truth, O thou who searchest the hearts and triest the ways, thou who knowest all things, so we come this evening hour, at this time appointed for worship, and oh that we might have that sense of thy majesty upon our spirits as we come. There may be that humble awe in our souls, that we might be found in the Spirit on the Lord's day as John was, who fell at thy feet as dead, and that, Lord, we might learn of thee, and all confession and supplication, confession of our sins, pleading thy grace, looking alone to thee for help. For whence cometh our help? It cometh from the Lord. Therefore we come before thee and desire that spirit of gracious repentance, godly sorrow for our sins, that we may be taught of thee. Lord, truly are we as that man that we considered this morning. This poor man cried. Are we that poor man? Dear Lord, thou knowest, and we get weaker, poorer. And, O Lord, we have to often bow and realize we have to give an account of our life, our stewardship. Yet it is not the power of our own life that keeps us in the narrow way. We are saved by grace, matchless grace. But all the wasted years, Lord, I confess them. All the wrong directions, the failings, the heart wanderings, O Lord, the wrong spirit. Oh, how we have to come before thee confessing, pleading grace, pleading mercy, pleading thy precious atoning blood, Do help us. Oh, we are poor and needy. Very, but may we know that thou dost think upon us. Lord, we are mindful that thou dost at times, and we would be humbly thankful. But we are brought to greater need. Thus we come this evening, thou knowest that we each gather from every quarter, the cares, the perplexities, the desires, the sorrows, the anguish, the worry. Lord, these deep-seated sorrows, all the exercises of the soul, the pathway of each. Oh, help us to cast all our care upon thee, commit our way unto thee, and may we be given thy grace to wait for thee, to watch for thee, to look for thy appearing, in all humility and humbleness of mind, in all gracious submission to thy will, or that we might feel thy hand leading us and humbling us, preparing us. O Lord, have mercy on us. We think of our late deacon at Black Boys. He used to pray, prepare us for thy will in the remaining days of our life, and prepare us for the last moment of our life below. Dear Lord, and thus we have to come as poor and needy beggars now, and pleading grace, we've got nothing else. Plead thy matchless almighty grace, all found in the glorious person of thy Son. Lord Jesus, remember us in mercy. Dear Lord, remember me, a sinner weak and vile, full of impiety and fraught with sin and guile. I cannot hope but in thy blood. Remember me, O Lord, for good. So help us now to come and worship. And we look into the lattice of thy word. And we humbly ask, as much as we don't deserve it, deserve nothing at thy hand but judgment, plead that grace, that we might hear the voice of our beloved. For thou wouldst speak, Lord, the word only. Thou wouldst put forth thy hand, comfort all that mourn, satiate the weary soul, comfort the sorrowing soul. Arise for help, Lord, only thou canst undertake. So remember us as we gather. Be thou exalted, always a prince and a saviour, a prince as a ruler, a king, a gracious king. Lord, a saviour from my woeful undone condition, forever a saviour from all my fears, and save me from the wrong way and the wrong direction, and open our eyes, Lord, to behold thy suffering for our sins. Lead us to Calvary. We don't say it lightly. Lord, it's not a question of gazing at the cross. It's being crucified ourselves, Lord, that we may take up this cross. This crucifixion of self-will, help me to pray it aright, for we shall need much grace, or to know and do thy will, and to walk in the path that is appointed for us, that narrow way alone. Help us to confess our sins then, and plead grace and plead thy great name. Remember this house of prayer, and bless the ministry of the word here. Remember, dear friends, the deacons. Be gracious to them, their loved ones. Hear their prayers, the church, the congregation. Remember, all in senior years here, near the end of the journey, appear, O great God, appear. All in middle life, establish their goings in thy paths. Bring them to the foundation, having to cast their burden upon thee. Remember the young men and women going forth, a number here in life. Go before them, provide for them in all things that they so need, having to bring them to know thee in younger years. May they fear thy name. Be with the dear children, the little babes. May they be heirs of glory. Bless the Sunday school and all it is attended. Remember all in affliction, pain, suffering. Lord, we as we understand one from a neighbouring cause who we do not actually think we know, remember her in her lowest day. Be gracious and bless her indeed. Lord, remember, we thank thee for thy mercy to our young friend. Remember him still, in sparing him and strengthening him again. We plead for all, and we think of one near and dear, so young and tender. God, be merciful to us, and appear for us, and help us. O Lord, art thou not he that healeth that which was sick? Lord, do remember us in mercy. We deserve nothing of thy hand. Remember this house of prayer. Remember thy servants on the walls of Zion in our own circles, the editors of our magazines, the secretaries of our societies. Bless them in their labours. Help thy servants, those in senior years laid aside. Return in power in the ministry. Return to us. Remember thy one church through the earth, the missionaries where thy name is feared and thy word is read in its purity. Oh, remember us in the nation. God, be merciful to us in England, the most calamitous, awful, solemn times. Touch our Queen. Open the eyes of our leaders, they might be ashamed. Raise up those who will sound the alarm. Stand for right things. Lengthen out our Protestant heritage. Civil religious liberties, according to thy mercy, freedom to worship. Lord, we thank thee for all thy mercies, thy great goodness, thy kindness, many helps, answers to prayer, all watchfulness, care. Lord, daily provisions, abundance of supply, but all those spiritual mercies, there is a throne of grace, a blood-sprinkled mercy seat, a great high priest above, his precious blood, the word of God, the doors of Zion open. A few, one or two here and there, spiritual companions in the lonely path. Oh, we acknowledge every mercy. Every one of these is undeserved. Help us to feel it and stand in awe and sin not. Bless the singing of thy worthy praise. Meet with us now, thou knowest how each have come. Each here this night, thou knowest the cases. All thou knowest, hear the prayers. May we be living souls exercised. Holy Ghost, be with us, be in our midst, be dew, and bring forth the manner of the word. Unto our hearts we pray. O Lord Jesus, Son of David, Son of God, we plead thy name before the throne. O come, O come and bless thy word and save us. O comfort, remember the poor and needy. Remember us in mercy. O Lord, help. It's either sink or swim. If thou must leave us, we shall fall. Without thee, cannot rise. God, be merciful to me. Be merciful unto us. Come, O Lord Jesus, come. I plead with thee. Come. Come into our lives. Come into our midst. Come with thy word. Come. 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 Amen.
Hymn 954. Save me, O God, my spirit cries, and on thy faithful word relies. Save me from sin, my desperate foe, that fills my soul with every woe. Hymn 954.
complete dependence upon the Lord, I would draw your attention to the chapter we read, and Isaiah 26, and the first part, really, of verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Isaiah 26, part of verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. The marginal reference to perfect peace is peace, which we understand as a double portion of peace, and whose mind is references thought, imagination. Not, of course, the natural imagination, but that which is given of God, that which shines through the lattice of the gospel and brings forth in meditation the mercies, the grace, the compassion of the Son of God, of the Father, of the wonder of grace with the Holy Spirit. Our thoughts run like this. Who does this speak to? Who does it speak to? Who does God speak to? God speaks to his people, speaks to his own people. Of course, there is the general voice of God in the world in judgment, but he speaks to those whom he appoints as heirs to be with him. And this word then, as the whole of Scripture, speaks to those people. But the question arises, who are these people? Who are they? Now, I'm not just going to stand up and say, we're their sinners. We can all say that. But they're made to be sinners. And of however they are called, there will be a time when their eyes will be opened and their hearts will be touched. Think of the prodigal son. I know it's a parable, but he began to be in want. Perhaps leaving aside the description of his wantonness, well, what a waste. But do we know anything of our own heart that wastes God's mercy? I referred in prayer very feelingly in my own case, the wasted years. Friend, the wasted years. The years have gone by. And as we have in this chapter, we have been with child. In other words, in labour. We've been in labour. We have been in pain, soul pain, spiritual. I'm speaking in a spiritual way. And we have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have wrought no deliverance in the earth, and so forth. You know, the gospel comes, thy dead men shall live. Thy dead men shall live. I know it speaks of the resurrection. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Friends, they did mystically. When Jesus rose from the dead, the whole church rose with him mystically, given to him by the Father, those yet to be born. You see, there's the gospel. But think of that prodigal son. He began to be in want. he began to be in want. You hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, dead in it. He began to be in want. Think of Timothy. From a child, he learned the scriptures. What a godly mother he had in Eunice. What a godly mother. A praying mother. And, you know, taught of the Spirit. Think of the woman, Lydia. She began to attend the things spoken to by Paul. You know, though thy beginnings be small, so shall thy letter end, greatly increase. It's God's mercy, friend, God's mercy. Abraham, an idolater, we always think of Abraham as the father of the faithful. And that's right, we should. But he was a poor man, friend, an idolater. And David anointed on the hillside, and many others we could speak of, here, brought to hear God's word, hear the Lord's voice, in the day of his power. Thy people shall be willing in the day of my power, says the word. And this is who he speaks to. Now, the text is a very precious text. It's a very high one. And we're not going to preach tonight or expect any of us to immediately jump in, I hope not, and say, well, this is my portion, or this is what I must do, or this is what I must attain to. Friend, in God's time, God will grant it in his time. He will bring you to have your mind stayed on thee. David in his meditation says, trust in him at all times. But oh, for grace to do it. He brings you to the place where you've got nothing else to trust in, to sink right down. But I want to come firstly to the principles of how does this peace arise? Firstly, where is this peace found in? Where is this peace? This peace I'm after, this peace of conscience, peace of soul, peace in the pathway. Where can it be found? And who gives it? And where does it arise? Do you need this peace? I suppose we ought to ask that question first. Are you brought to need the peace of God which passeth all understanding? Or are you content to be a nobody without it? If you're a living soul, friend, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Do not hide in poverty. You'll be poor enough without it, but you will need the Lord. Do you need this God? Do you need this peace? Well, my thoughts went, as we came along to this word, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. This is where I want to start. Him, of course, being his Son. Now God has placed a fullness of grace for all his church, suitable to them. Friend, a fullness of mercy and compassion. Grace to have mercy on them. Grace to supply them. Grace to bring them to glory. And that grace is found in himself. And that grace of compassion and mercy to them. In forgiveness. And that fullness of help, the fullness of his word, of his person, of his atoning blood, and this is what I'm coming to. For it pleased the Father that in him, in Christ, should all fullness dwell. For a sinner in his need, for one in sorrow, for one ashamed, Friend, a fullness of reconciliation, a fullness of a change of heart, renew the mind, a fullness. But he goes on to say, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. This might be high, but this actually is the foundation. And if we're living souls, we shall long to know something of that blood through his cross, that peace through his cross. It's not saying we're all going to attain to it, but there's the living desire after it. And this is for the church. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, a peace in the conscience, a living soul longs for it. Are your days in agitation? Are your days in trial? Are your days in failure? Are you ashamed? Peace, peace, peace through his cross as Jesus made the church's everlasting head. And he goes on to say, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, unto God. See, Christ is he that reconciles all unto God. And he reconciled all your pathway. And he reconciled your heart to his will. And a wonderful mercy it is when he reconciles us to God the Father, to himself, to Christ. This is God's purpose. This is the very purpose of grace in sending forth his Son. And he's made peace by his cross, friends, and his suffering. And by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, he says, and you that were sometime alienated. Do you know what it is to feel to be awfully alienated? Grace will make you feel the alienation of nature, of our flesh. Alienated and enemies. You say, but I'm not an enemy, I'm a Christian. Friend, wait for a cross purpose and see how you're an enemy, as it were, in your natural mind, to the Lord's will, to the right way. You know, I think of that word, it comes to me, drops in. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, reveal them unto babes. Are you one, dear friend, that realizes the alienation of your mind and the enemy to God's will that we carry within us? And we were enemies. Enemies to Christ, enemies to his truth. In your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Reconciled. Friends, it's not us just being reconciled to God, but God being reconciled to us. God being reconciled to us in the suffering of his Son. Oh, friends, what a deep-seated, unspeakable, unfathomable, unexplainable measure of pleasure and reconciliation God had when his Son yielded up under the curse of the law that obedience and overcame in the last breath and conquered all sin and death and reconciled, glorified God in the penalty of the law. Do we know? Do you long to know it? What amazing mercy. Our soul hardly understands it, does it? You know, because you don't understand it, pray for it. A little drop. You know, dear friend, you think of a desert, the desert of your heart. The hymn writer says, my heart a desert vast. And you think of a few drops on the rain on a desert sand and stone. And what a fragrance comes forth. What a rejoicing. Those showers those showers, those handfuls of purpose from the Master of Assemblies. Now, but he goes on to say, yet now he reconciled in the body of his flesh. In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. We have here before us, as Christ, the way of peace. The way of peace. And we have in this prophecy, earlier chapters, and it's an amazing mercy, you know. You are the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And he speaks in that chapter, I will just turn to that verse as it comes to mind. He says there, does he not? For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. I know that's referring to Jew and Gentile in the particular matter, but oh, what a wall, what a barrier. Christ has broken down that barrier between his people and his Father, the barrier that sin has made. Friend, there's only one barrier between your soul and God, and that's your evil nature and your heart. The barrier of sin that's brought for Christ. Christ has broken it down. Oh, behold the Lamb of God. Oh, that we could, a living soul, would long to behold the Lamb of God by living faith that taketh away the sin of the world. Behold the man. You know, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Quickened us with Christ. Made us alive with Christ. Again, referring there to the sweet mystical of his rising with my dead body shall they rise. Made alive to their soul. But you know, oh, may we know this to be true. For unto us a child is born. Who unto? This people have I formed for myself. The poor needy sinner, the crying one, the broken one, the David, hunted as a partridge upon the mountains. Through the blood of his cross. Joseph, Jacob, Samuel, the dear apostles, and all those in the Gospels that came to him. The woman by the well, the woman of Sychar, reconciled. The woman taken in adultery, reconciled. Even Nicodemus the Pharisee, reconciled. Unto us, the poor and the needy, unto us. A poor child, think of that word this morning. This poor man cried, unto us. Unto us. Unto this poor man, a child is born. A son is given. And he says, the government, oh, can you come here? Can you lay your care here? Can you cast your burden? The government is upon his shoulder. And nowhere else. And if you are a poor, a needy one, Fred, the government of your life, the administrator, is upon his shoulder, a glorious shoulder, and he's borne that curse, but not just that, managing. Friend, that's why we're exhorted to cast our burden upon him, cast our care upon him, commit our way unto him, delight ourselves unto him, wait patiently for him. There's a good word, wait patiently, wait on the Lord, and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. Wait on the Lord. The government is upon his shoulder. Upon his shoulder. and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. And I've come to this, the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Peace. You see, the text refers us and brings us to the Lamb of God, but keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. And I refer to here just very briefly, and I mustn't continue on this line for much longer, but Paul speaks of Melchizedek, the king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham, and he blessed him, and to whom also Abraham gave a tenth of his part, first being by interpretation king of righteousness. Melchizedek, king of righteousness. Who's the king of righteousness? And a priest and a king, the priest-king, a glorious type of the Redeemer, king of righteousness. And after that also, king of Salem. And the interpretation there, king of peace, king of peace. By the blood of his cross, by the blood of his cross. And that is where the peace arises. Lord, direct me. Is there a poor heart? Lord, direct me. This is the peace I need. And what are we talking about, peace? Peace by the blood of his cross. What are we speaking of? Peace of conscience. Christ's righteousness. Jesus revealed. Friend, an effectual touch to hear his voice in your tribulation, in your sorrow. But you know, it is sorrow and tribulation to the end. But you know, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Now I want to come to the application of the word. They will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Now take the vicissitudes. Take the paths of your life. Take the coming down of your body. Take the affliction. Consider the trial. Consider the loneliness. Consider the long patient waiting. The long patient waiting for the Lord to appear. Consider your own case. The burden of your own heart. Think of the sin that's against you. Think of the wandering mind. You know, all confession. If we confess our sins, and it doesn't just mean every time I pray that I'm a sinner and Lord forgive my sins. Confession, dear friends, goes with tears and groans through the day. It doesn't just go when you say your prayers. Tears and groans through the day. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. But who is this man? A poor sinner in need. I am poor and needy, said David, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. It's a simple word to think that. Friend, I'll put it this way. David realized the thoughts of God were toward him, his mind and will. The Lord thinketh upon me. Look, soul, have you no tokens that the Lord thinks upon you? Have you nothing at all? Let us come to the practical part of this. Well, we're mentioning David. And my thought goes to that time when Ziklag was burned with fire. And the people, that's all his friends, spake of stoning him. Such was the bitterness, their wives, their families, their loved ones, their property, gone. And the Lord's hand was upon David, for Abimelech not being honest with him. I think it's the king of a Philistine. I can't think of his name. It's gone from me. I don't think it's Abimelech. No, it's gone from me. It was above our psalm this morning. Oh, it is Abimelech. Foretelling, hiding the truth from Abimelech, lest Abimelech should turn against him. But God dealt with him for it. He couldn't get away with what we might call a white lie, a whitewashing over what he did. He didn't directly lie, but he was vague in his description to the inquiry, "Where have you been?" "Oh, I've been over that way. And gave the impression that David had invaded Judah and ravaged Judah and so forth. You see how the Lord brings you home. "You know, dear David, you know, but we read this. He's come to the end, you know. The people..." Friend, the pain of all his followers, so loyal, turning against him. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. When he come down to nothing, got nothing left, nothing at all left, nothing left. What did he encourage himself in? Now this must come to our text. Friend, the gracious anointing, was it real? Samuel was the prophet. The purpose of God must stand. Soul, have you had a little anointing? A little anointing. What a mercy. And now you've come to the end. Now there's defeat stares you. Judgment's over your head. The Lord is displeased. I'll say this with David, a little measure, but you know, what a great mercy. See, he lost everything. Even David had lost his wives. It wasn't just the people, he had lost it as well. Lost everything. Bring hither the ephod. His life is in danger. Encouraged himself, and the Lord is God. But the Lord's anointing of grace, and sweet meditations. He'd meditated on the Lord. The sacrifices for sin. The tabernacle worship. The Lord's words to his heart. The Lord's promise. The Lord's grace. And can we join in here in a New Testament way? You know, the blood of the everlasting covenant, shed for sinners. Can you plead it? Bring hither the ephod. Friend, he encouraged himself in the Lord's mercy to him. Spared thus far, brought forth thus far, escaped from Saul thus far. How could he die? How could he be cut off? And you know the outcome. Without doubt, thou shalt recover all, says God. And he did, and he did, and he did. See, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. David wasn't at peace, was he, when he discovered Ziklag all destroyed and everyone taken? But the blessings that God has given him, the promise of the Lord, the fountain open for sin and uncleanness. Friend, this is not a theory. There's an effectual fountain. It has mercy with it. It has promise with it. It brings a comfort with it. The word of the Lord brings a comfort with it. Think of Abraham. You know, they go to Mount Moriah. They go to Mount Moriah. And God has said, offer up thine only son. You know, can you yield up all to the Lord? And Abraham had got to do it. But you see, there was the promise. You know, how could Abraham say to his son when Isaac said, Father, we've got the wood and we're carrying the fire and we got all this, but where's the sacrifice? Where's the lamb? But you see, my son, God shall provide himself a lamb. This is a child of promise. And Abraham was made willing to yield it up. It's a very sacred portion. Now, what does that mean to us today? I'm not going to say big things because I'm too fearful to do it. But we do have to come to this place. We have to yield up all to the Lord in the end, don't we? And it needs grace to do it. But you see, Abraham, when he answered his faith, we read in Hebrews 11 that he believed that he was able to raise him from the dead. You see, and Jesus said, Abraham saw my day. He saw it and was glad. He saw that he was the resurrection and the life. What can we yield up, friends? That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is that Abraham's life was safe. And so was Isaac's, but he didn't know how. He had to depend on the Lord. And he had to bind him and take the knife before God spoke. Glorious substitution. Wonderful mercy. Oh, glorious scene at Mount Moriah. And that's where the temple sacrifice was made, on Mount Moriah. And Ophel. You see, Abraham had his mind stayed on the covenant. Those 26 years of patient waiting, great trial of faith, loneliness, sorrow, disappointment, mistakes, trials that followed those mistakes, judgments that followed those mistakes. He learned that the Lord brought forth his promise in the end and would not fail. But now the intense trial. See, Abraham's faith went beyond this world. It was up to heaven, up to God. Oh, do you ever cry out? Did you pray all day long? Increase my faith, increase our faith. Do you have to pray that? Because I do. I do. Lord, increase my faith. Undertake for me. Think of the Apostle Paul, you know. We look at Paul as, well, I don't know, I suppose it's the natural mind. We all seem to speak of Paul, he was a man, a giant, and surely we're poor and needy, and he was above us. You know, the dear Apostle, well, we have in the Corinthians the descriptions of the dangers he was in and what he suffered. When I am weak, am I strong? My grace is sufficient for thee. You know, God's grace is sufficient for us. Friend, grace was not in Paul by nature, had to be given him, had to drop down. But there was the sufficiency of God. You know, when they're on that journey, the apostle warned the captain of the ship of the danger he felt, but he was ignored. And Paul had to enter into that very danger. You know, this is a great word. And he speaks of the angel of the Lord standing with him that night and declaring to him what the end of the matter would be. And you know, they're all for leaving the ship. They're all for slaying the prisoners. They're all for doing this, that and the other. But he says, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. What a storm. What a storm. His mind was stayed on what the Lord had spoken to him. What the Lord had revealed to him. What the Lord had done for his soul. A precious Redeemer and Christ. For I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. What a stay. Calvary stay. A poor sinner. Poor sinner, you for a making shipwreck. Well, friends, that's my greatest fear. But Paul's mind was stayed on what the Lord had told him. Has he given you a promise, a word? Do you feel you're utterly deceived? Friend, my thoughts run like this. Do not stay only on the word. Do not stay your mind only on the word. Plead it. Wait for it. But stay your heart on him who gave it, who remembered you in your lowest state. Now you're going to say to me, but how can I? How can I? Friend, you can't. It's by his grace, you know. Isn't it humbling? The hope I have, my only hope is by his grace. But there's a foundation laid in Zion, and there's a foundation laid in your heart. Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, the blood of sprinkling. You know, Habakkuk, in his prophecy, as he concludes, he says this. And I don't know how you take this word, but I don't know. I feel these things personally myself sometimes, in my own pathway, my own life, my family, my ministry. Not my ministry, but you understand what I mean by that. The poverty of my own preaching. The wretchedness of my wicked heart. And the long waiting for the Lord to appear and answer prayer. It says, although the fig tree shall not blossom. Doesn't seem to, does it? It's not as fair as we thought it was. The trial of our faith. Neither shall fruit be in the vines. You know, God was the same to Israel. Even though he brought famines and hid his face, still the covenant was upon Israel until the coming of his son. And he's still the covenant upon his people, though he hides his face and tries their heart. The labour of the olive shall fail. I don't want to be fanciful, but I ponder sometimes the olive is oil, and we think of the oil of the or likened unto the Holy Spirit. It seems that we've lost everything. But he can't fail, you know. But the natural olive will. And the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold. There shall be no herd in the stall. The fields, you see, the bread, the natural bread. If natural bread fails, it's a very solemn time. But, you know, Habakkuk says this, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. No supply. No supply seen or coming. No store there. Nothing to go to. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Rejoice in the Lord. How could he? Where was his mind stayed? On God, on his word, on his covenant. You know, it's the Lord that appointed the sacrifices in the Old Testament. He showed forth his son in that Mosaic dispensation. Friend, and he shows forth in his word now the grace of God in his son. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The love of God. Think of the benediction. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Full of grace, full of truth, full of compassion. He died, he rose. There's the sinner's overcoming. There's the sinner's hope. The love of God, we say in the benediction. The love of God placed there. Friend, oh, what a tremendous thing that God provided his own son. And I tell you, a greater thing if he brought you to need him. Brought you to need his own provision. And that's love. And that's compassion. And brought you to love him and worship him and long for him. Bring you to him at last. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. What? When the olive has failed? When the vine's failed? When there's no herds in the stall? When there's nothing seen? Nothing to look to? No support? Yes. Oh, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. Friend, why is it precious? Because faith beholds and lives and wants the Lamb of God. And it is the Lord that sends the trial, and therefore what he does must be precious. Is it? Is it? We don't think so. But you know, when he shall appear, shall redound unto him glory, the appearing of Jesus Christ, when he appears. See, there's that patient waiting for him. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon mine high places. What's a hind's feet? Friend, over the hills, the mountains, the boulders, the impossible places where you naturally can't come. And that's the walk of faith, waiting upon him. The way you cannot naturally go. The way you can't, your soul says, I can't go that way. It's too dangerous. Look at that crag. Look at that great drop. Look at those boulders. I can't go. Make my feet like hinds' feet. He bring you safely through. I don't want to be fanciful here, dear friends, but who is the trial of our faith that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. He will make me to walk upon mine high places. You see, that's by living faith. Abraham lived upon the promise of God. What else did he live on? Well, there are many instances we would come to in the word of God. Some I shall have to draw. You know, you think, King Jehoshaphat, we have no might against this great company which cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. Eyes are upon thee. And that good king began to say to the people, I know it was after Jaziel's blessing and promise, he began to say, Hear me, O Judah, ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord God. Believe what he's promised. Believe we established Jerusalem. Look to him. Believe in his worship. Believe in that reconciliation. So shall you be established. Believe his prophets. Believe those warnings. Believe those truths. They're messengers of God. Believe those promises that are given. So shall ye prosper. So shall ye prosper. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Friend, there's the place to go, is it not? May we be given that grace to, in your circumstances, in your sorrow, in your fear, in your difficulty, in the impossibility. You know, it's easy to say these things, but for with God, nothing shall be impossible. It's with God, friend. It's impossible with you. It's with God. You know, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Spiritual peace. Christ peace. The peace through the atonement. The peace of his word. The peace of his purpose. The peace of his blessing. Before the time has completely run now and I've run out, so I don't know, I can't carry on, but friends, you know, when the Lord, he's the King of peace, so all his dealings are meant in peace. His awakening grace, the conviction of sin, has a purpose of peace and love and mercy on it. And we speak of that quickening grace. His promise, his blessing, what a purpose of mercy, a heavenly blessing. And that is, come down from heaven. The Son of God has come down from heaven. Peace I live with you, my peace I give unto you. Friend, Christ's peace, overcoming death,
overcoming sin. I don't want to make it sound easy or light. But you see, the glorious Son of God, he overcame. Overcame, conquered. He rose from the dead, conquered. That will keep him in perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on thee, stayed in faith, in prayer, in watchfulness. I know it sounds easy, but it's not easy. But dear friend, I know it to be true. Pilgrim, witness not that it's true. You look at your little experience. Just perhaps a few times in your life, you've proved his word true. They'll keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, heart is stayed on thee, whose affections are taken to thee from time to time. Have you not proved him true? The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. I don't want to just quote texts. Friend, we want more than quoting texts. Lord Jesus, come. O thou that died, that precious blood, those wounds in thy hands. Lord, lead me to them, reconciled through the blood of his cross. The blood of his cross. That's where peace arises. Friend, therefore every blessing in his word, in his promise, surely must come through the sacrifice of the Lamb of God. There God is reconciled to the poor sinner. But I just want to conclude here. Because he trusteth in thee. This seems to me to be the reward of living faith. That's God's purpose. That his people should trust his Son. Should trust in him. Should trust the atonement. And nothing else. There were, because he trusteth thee. There is the reward of faith. I'm not speaking meritorious faith in a man, but faith lays hold of Emmanuel. Does it not? Does it not? God's richest provision. Trust in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah, the mighty God, is everlasting strength. The margin, the rock of ages. The Lord Jehovah. Well, I will leave it now. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Oh, dear friend, Lord, lead us to the word. I'm only a simple man. Friend, we're made very poor. But what the simplicity of the truth. Oh, my soul, let me ponder this. Lead me in the way of life. Show me that opening. Lord, thy word says, can you plead it before the throne? In confessing your sins, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. You will prove this in trial, affliction, loneliness, loss, suffering. That is where it is found, in the trial of your faith. Well, may the Lord lead us to himself and to his word. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind, poor mind, is stayed on thee.
God willing, Mr. Javis Rutt will preach on Tuesday evening and the service will be in the vestry. And next Lord's Day we expect, God willing, Mr. Timothy Rosier, who also hopes to address the Sunday school. Let us close with hymn 732. Indulgent God, how kind are all thy ways to me, whose dark benighted mind was enmity with thee. Yet now, subdued by sovereign grace, my spirit longs for thy embrace. Hymn 732.
may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost, abide with us each, now, forever. Amen.